This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
And just give you an update on the final Oiler pick. It was number 182 overall, round 7, goaltender Franz Tuomas, and Axel's brother, actually, and played with Jokerit in the SM Liga Junior, 214 goals against average in 37 games and a .931 save percentage, .930 in the playoffs. So that is the final pick in a very busy day for the Edmonton Oilers, in which they drafted a couple of goaltenders and about 5 defensemen. I don't know if that's exactly right, but it's something like that. And we're joined on the phone by Jim. Jim, how are you, man?
Hello, boys.
Good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Just looking at the page that we normally don't look at, and that's in the system on the Oil Country website. Hartikainen, over Linus, I don't know. I think that the three Swedes from that group will be definitely on the team this year. I don't think there's any stretch of the imagination that could see Linus Omark down in the minors, or Magnus Pjärvi. Or PRV Hopkins, let's call him PRV Hopkins for now.
I agree. I don't think there's any chance at all. Hartikainen is the one. He's a Finn. He's the one guy from the group that you've mentioned who might start in Oklahoma City, although I think he has a chance to make the team.
But Ryan Jones? No way.
Well, Jones will make the team because they've signed him, so he'll make the team for sure. But Hartikainen might make the team. You got to remember that some of these guys can play right wing, and it's a fluid thing. There's likely to be one or two players sent away this summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that'll change everything. It could be a center, but there might be a winger going too. You never know. I think the Oilers right now have too many forwards and not enough defensemen for the fall. So there's going to be, I suspect, some kind of moves. Okay, thanks.
What do you think we're going to line as far as the nuclear deterrent goes? Are we just going to keep McIntyre, or is J.F. Jacques going to have an opportunity to make this team?
I heard a rumor about Ben Eager, and I think they may go another direction from both McIntyre and Jacques, but I've been saying that about Jacques for about 5 years now, and he's still here. So,
I'll tell you one thing. We'd be definitely in good shape with the kind of disturber that Eager is, and he definitely didn't have the team off its game.
Yeah, well, for sure. Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Jim. Appreciate
Thank
the call.
Have
okay.
a good day.
Yeah, you too. That's Jim talking a little bit about I guess it's never too early to get into that, Corey, just talking about the team and what they're going to look like in the fall. But I think all the Swedes stay, right? The Omark, Pjärvi, all those guys stay.
Yeah, unless there's a move in the offseason, right? I mean, maybe a guy like Omark has some cachet. I don't think they should trade him, but, no. You know.
Well, if you line up in the fall with Horkoff and Eberle and Hall, and then you go second line, which was Gagné, Pjärvi, and Omark, and then your third line, Cogliano is still here, so he's a guy who likely played Jones, maybe, and then you get into, you know, I mean, there's so many players.
Right.
You know, there's Gilbert Brulé. They have a lot of forwards right now. I don't even know if you could list a top 14, probably more like a top 18.
Yeah, exactly. And if Ryan Smith's in the mix on that third line, possibly, and Cogliano, to me, I'm kind of like, I'm where you are with Jocks on Cogliano. I'm surprised he's still here, and I've been trying to get rid of him for a while.
Well, you see, for me, I have I sort of feel that way too, but I have a lot of friends who threaten me physically.
Yeah.
If I suggest it, they're like, no way, he's the guy.
Yeah.
You know, you and your Gagné. And so, because I think Gagné is a good player. Cogliano is a great skater.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he has the finish. And that's exactly what they said at the draft when he was drafted in 05. It's come to fruition. What we thought he was, he is. The difficulty is, I think he's been offered around a little bit, and at some point in time, I think he's a, you know, fish or cut bait guy. I do think that Tom Rennie saw something in him, though. My feeling is that Tom Rennie felt that he could play and use them in kind of a two-way checking role, and he seemed to find his way a little bit at the end of the year. Maybe that's enough to keep him around trying for another year.
Yeah, it's interesting. He kind of bought in a little bit to that checking role, which is something I didn't know if he was going to ever do, because, you know, everybody calls him Todd Marchant 2.0, or I think he's Todd Marchant with less hands right now, which isn't a good thing.
No, for sure. For sure. Before we go to Matt Bug, who's on the line with us, I want to ask you a question about, since we're talking 11-12,
mm-hmm.
What would you do defensively on this team? Would you stay the course, or would you add a as good a veteran as you could?
Yeah, I think they have to. They need that kind of veteran presence. We saw what Ryan Whitney did for this team. I don't think you're getting a guy like that, but they need somebody, in my opinion, at least the top four, probably a guy that's been around for a while, a guy that can be a leadership guy to come in, because like adding a forward, like we talked about with Ryan Smith for the dressing room, I think you need that too on the back end. There's a lot of young talent there. There's a lot of young guys that are trying to find their position. If you get a solid, steady, you know, 4-5 guy. I think that's what they need to look for.
Okay. Corey, thanks so much for I know you've been on the air for the last 24 hours, so I appreciate you being here.
Anytime, Alan. No problem.
That's Corey Graham. Yeah, you can hear him every night, obviously, here on Team 1260. And, of course, when the Oil Kings get rolling, he is your play-by-play guy. Joined now by Matt Bug. Matt, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing, Alan?
Good. You are on the floor of the draft. Let's start by getting your general impressions of the draft and how it went.
Well, it was a very interesting draft. I think everyone was pleased with how the first round went down, no matter what team you cheered for. And all throughout rounds 2 to 7 today, I think the same thing happened. Every team just seemed to get a player that they would have coveted based on their draft strategy, and all of the teams seemed to be very happy to have gotten who they did.
I'm just looking. It takes, for me, it takes a month to go over this because there's so much to do and there's so many players I don't know. But you know a lot more about these kids before the draft than almost anybody I know. Can you make a call about the biggest surprise, the best value, and what team did the best as far as the draft? Or is it still too early for you to make that call?
Well, I'd say if I had to pick today, I'd say the Ottawa Senators did a very, very good job of addressing the problem that they had in their pipeline, which was a lack of elite offensive talent. They were a team that came into the draft having a lot of guys that could play in the NHL, a lot of college free agent signings, and a lot of very good later round picks, but none of them really had top line upside. And they went out and fixed that today. They got, for example, Shane Prince from Ottawa, as well as Jean-Gabriel Pageau from Gatineau, and Max McCormick from the USHL. These are all kids that it's going to take them a while to develop, and they don't have ideal NHL size. But, man, do they have the upside to be very good players.
No.
And another team that I say did very well this year, and, you know, they do well every year. That's why they're considered one of the best in NHL history at it, are the Red Wings. They started off today with Thomas Yurko, who kind of slipped to them at 35. Some people thought that he was going to pop into the first round, and they just kept going. They picked up Ryan Spruill at 55, Alan Quine at 85, and Marek Tiverton at 115, who was a player that a lot of teams were watching because he missed much of the year with an injury.
Do you feel like after the now that the draft is done, going in, we were told that there was after about 15, between 16 and say 50, 55, anybody could go anywhere. It looks like that's what happened. Were there any surprises in that group that people maybe reached or somebody fell from that group of middle, say halfway through the second through the end of the third round?
Well, I know that we were waiting a long, long time for Seth Ambrose to go, and it was a big surprise, to me at least, that he wasn't within the first three rounds. He's everything that you could possibly want in a new NHL power forward. He's big. He's a good skater. He's got good hands. His work rate is fairly high. And, you know, he led his USHL team in scoring, which is very hard to do when you're, you know, coming into the year as a draft eligible. He did very, very well, and I'm shocked that he fell as far as he did to Columbus.
Okay. Let's go through, if you don't mind, really quickly, because there are a lot of people emailing me right now wanting details on the kids that some of the kids that the Oilers drafted today. Let's start. Now, we know a little bit about it, but I'd like your input on pick number 31, David Musiel.
Well, for me, David Musiel was never a player that stood out as a kid that should be taken within the top 35 or even 45. I see a very limited range of skills there. He's not a great skater. He's not as physical as he could be. He's not as smart as he could be. He needs to make decisions quicker. I mean, you can see the raw bundle of talent he is. He's 6'3" and 196 at his age. But for a kid that's played a little bit against men and come over to the WHL, and mind you, this year he was kind of thrown into a role that I don't think he was ready for. He was asked to move the puck a little bit more than was asked of him the year before. That's just not his role. But I think, though, he still struggled for a player of his age and relative experience.
Is he similar, I apologize if you didn't see his dad, but his dad was one of those stay-at-home guys. You didn't notice him unless he was hitting someone or he was just doing his job, which was a very efficient way of moving the puck to the puck mover. Is that the kind of player he is, or does he have a little more skill?
I think he's very, very similar to his dad. In fact, it's rather eerie how similar they are. And sometimes you see these kids that come from, you know, journeymen or one-dimensional NHL players that end up having the complete package. But in this case, I think David is just a chip off the old block.
Okay.
And the Oilers should be happy if he ends up as a number four, number five.
How would, and I hate to go backwards because I hadn't planned to, but so how would he compare to Klefbom? Klefbom highly rated by ISS, by Redline. How do you feel about him, and do you think he has better upside by a long way?
I think Klefbom has tremendous upside. He's got the upside to be a first-pairing defenseman. He just does everything very, very well. He's a great skater for his size. He needs to improve his quickness and his lateral agility a bit. But, you know, that's something that you can work on when you're 6'3" and 204. He's physical. He's willing to take risks. And he's a guy that wants to make a difference on a game. He's a guy that wants the puck. And I think that, above everything else, separated him from a few of the players that were on the board at that point. Because you want kids with confidence. You don't want to have to bring them in and ramp them up. It's easier to bring them down, as they say, and that's the case with Klefbom.
So, moving on to pick number 62, who seems like a raw talent, again, with a lot of upside, goalie Samu Perhonen. Tell me about him and how he projects.
Perhonen is a very interesting player. He entered the draft as perhaps the most athletic at that position in the class. And he's just a raw bundle of talent. He's 6'5" and 184, so there's, you know, 20, 30, 40 pounds of mass to put on him. And he reminds me a lot of Mika Kiprusoff before he received the proper coaching that he did. He's just kind of all over the place. I know you mentioned earlier a scouting report that cited his inefficient movement and his wasted movement, and that's very accurate. He just doesn't use his size very effectively. It robs him of any advantage he has because of his big frame.
That was a Redline report, and that's exactly what he said. A lot of unnecessary movement around the net. So, but do you think he's a guy who, as an Oiler fan, you just kind of put him aside and forget about him for 4 years?
Well, and he's the precise type that you do that with. This isn't a player that you expect him, you know, to come in and be one of the great big goaltenders that we've seen in the new NHL. He's a player that you do leave in Finland for 2 or 3 years. And, you know, bring him over to the AHL at that point and sort of assess where he's at. But, you know, don't expect any miracles here. This is a player that needs some very fortuitous development to become a starting goaltender.
Okay. Travis Iwanyk at number 74. He's a player that Oiler and Oil King fans are very familiar with, and we know he improved a lot late. He's got some secondary skills like face-off ability, and he seemed to slide a little bit. Give me your opinion about him and why he slid down the list.
Well, he really impressed at the under-18s with his intangibles and with his defensive game, but I think at the end of the day, he's a player that didn't do enough to prove that he could produce consistently at the next level. Now, as you said, Oil Kings fans will be well aware of what he does bring, and I think what the Oilers were looking for are those intangibles, that ability to build a puck-winning line around him. And the Oilers like to do that, you know, within a 3-4-5 round range. They like to grab role player types. And Travis is exactly that. I think he could wear a letter at the NHL level.
Okay. And Dylan Simpson at number 92. Again, this is the second of three possible picks. We heard that Keegan Lowe had asked the Oilers to not pick him. As it turned out, the Carolina Hurricanes did. But Simpson was the third possible kid with direct Oiler ties to Oiler greats. Give me your opinion on him. I know that he was playing in the NCAA at a young age. How did he look and how does he project?
Well, Dylan is a very, very smart player, as you have to be to A, get into college as a player that's just entering your draft year, and B, to be the best defenseman in a junior league at, you know, 16, 17 years old. And he brought those smarts again to North Dakota this year. He's not the fleetest of foot. He's not the thickest at this point. He's not the fastest with the puck, but he's a kid that's going to make the right decision when, you know, play is on the line. He's very, very smart at pinching, and that's where a lot of his offense came from this year. He's got a very deceptive shot, and, you know, I think he's a kid that tops out as maybe a number four multi-dimensional player that you can rely on in a few different roles.
Okay. One of the interesting picks late for me was Tobias Reeder, just because he's the kind of skill guy I always like the Oilers to draft. How good is he, and how good can he be?
Well, Reeder is a very, very interesting player. You know, you look at undersized kids and assume that they're, you know, loaded with skill and have the potential to be top-line players. But he's a grittier player than you'd expect looking at his numbers. He likes to fight for space. He's a little feisty. He's maybe not as aggressive around the net as someone like Sven Berchi is, but he's still a kid that's willing to compete, and that's what you want in a player that size. And you might say, well, you know, the risk of getting injured is much higher if you're a player that size and you're going into the corners and you're driving into traffic. But a perimeter player at that size has zero chance of success. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I look at it. You need to be willing to go to those areas, and he's willing to do that and willing to leverage his skill to make plays.
At number 122, I know he's big, and I don't know a lot about him, so I'm hoping you can fill in the blanks for, got like five emails here in the last hour or so on Martin Gernat.
Gernat is very, very, very raw. His footwork, I don't want to say it's sublime, but it's very eerie for a player of his size. He needs to expand his stride a bit because he does have those long legs. That would make him so much more effective. But he creates a lot of his offense through very good point management. He's not a guy that's going to rush the puck. He's going to work the point, make smart passes, use his big shot. And I think the Oilers have found another Slovakian gem in him. He's a player, and I know I underrated Martin Marincin last year, but I think Martin Gernat is a player that can be a number four, maybe an Eric Brewer clone is the type of player that I see him. He's just such a raw package of skills and physique at this point that you hope he takes one of those things and makes it an elite attribute.
And the final pick, the seventh round pick for the Oilers, goaltender, and I'm going to blow the pronunciation, Franz Tuohima.
Tuohima is a player that he's a 91-born goaltender, and he had the top save percentage in Finnish Junior this year. The problem with players like that, and the reason that he fell as much as he did, despite a fairly good ranking from European Central Scouting throughout the year, is because when you have bigger goaltenders that are older playing still in Junior A, the problem is that they tend to rely on their reflexes more than anything, and they can get away with that against kids, but they can't against men because, you know, systems play it so much more in there, and even in Europe where the ice is bigger. But that's not a problem with Franz. He uses his size very effectively. He's very good with his legs, and he takes away a lot of the bottom of the net. And, you know, there isn't a lot not to like about this guy. I think one of the reasons the Oilers coveted him is because he has a chance to come over as early as the fall of 2011, or fall of 2012, sorry, and start for our AHL team. And that's something that we could certainly use.
Give me an overall grade, and I don't need A to B, A to Z or whatever. I just need an idea about how well you think they did with the players that were available, and maybe of the kids that we drafted today, the Oilers drafted today, which ones you would be looking for to impress the most 5 years from now.
Well, I don't want to say this was a bad draft. It certainly wasn't. But I expected the Oilers to take a lot more chances today, or to at least trade the multiple picks that they did have to turn those players into players that are either closer to the NHL or more blue-chip prospects. However, they stayed where they were and, you know, took players that were relatively good value for where they got them and players that can fit into roles. And I think that this was a draft where the Oilers looked to fill out the bottom six of the roster. They've already worked very, very hard to fill out that top six, and that work has paid off. But just as you need scorers, you need players that can grind out the puck and win battles and take care of their end, and they got that. And they also picked up a couple of players who were closer to the league than maybe some younger home run shots might have been.
Okay. And as far as 5 years from now, anybody today that we should be looking for as an NHL regular?
Well, besides our first-round picks, I don't know. I would probably say that Gernat has the best chance of being a regular at that point. He won't be a spectacular player. The other ones, as I said, they'll be role guys. They'll be guys that chip in and lead more in the locker room than they do on the ice.
Okay. You know what, Matt? Thanks so much. If you have anything else, give us a call back from Minneapolis. I so much appreciate your input. Thank you.
Not a problem, Alan.
Okay, Matt Bug, and you know what? That's information that I knew he could provide, and I'm so glad he's there, because the one thing about an NHL draft is at the end of it, you're left with a lot more questions than you were at the start of the day. So thanks to Matt Bug. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back and reset right after this.